entertaining talk radio broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
Hello to all my fans. Thanks for sending me your letters. I really enjoy reading them while setting your fucking houses on fire. Keep your fucking opinions to yourself. I know I'm awesome. Enjoy the DJ New Style Show, you fucking dickheads.
Oh, snap! Yes. Welcome, welcome one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right, this is the DJ New Style Show, exclusively on Heroes Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears, and the place to be. This episode, marking the first time ever that my oh snap has fucking injured my throat. Congratulations. There's always that one little sign that your nagging injuries attributed to your craft are catching up with you. Mark McGuire and his wrist pain. Barry Bonds and his swollen cranium. Me and my scratchy throat. Speaking of swollen craniums and scratchy throats, your friend and mine, I guess. Ladies and gentlemen, the Germ Freak. Frank, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Ken? How's it going? You don't do Rammstein anymore?
Oh, I do. I do Rammstein all day.
Oh.
Did it all day.
Good. Good evening to you. Good evening, one and all, to the surviving show on the Heroes Talk Network.
Now, Frank, why would you do that?
What?
The surviving show on the Heroes Talk Network.
Well, shows and they're not around anymore, so it's the last surviving show.
No, there are other shows on the network still. Like, I know that you don't listen to them, but there are other shows on the network.
I'm not talking about Heroes Talk. I'm talking about Heroes Talk.
No, Hate Us Talk is on Heroes Talk.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about Heroes Talk, not Hate Us Talk.
You know what? I'm starting to. I have no idea what you ever mean. Whenever you speak, I really don't know what your intention is. 9 out of 10 times, is that a bad thing for a co-host? Is that like really a bad thing? Did you be honest, level with me? Did you realize that that Hate Us Talk is a part of Heroes Talk?
I thought it was its own network.
Oh.
Sorry.
Yeah,
but it was on its own thing.
Yeah, that's really good.
I mean,
good.
You still have pictures up of you know of Best in Show and other stuff. So I'm like, you know, the thing needs to be updated.
Yeah, you know, what would be great, Frank, is if you decided to update the website.
Give me the password. I'll update it.
You don't know how to.
Well, then why do you ask me to do it?
Because you feel very comfortable in complaining about it.
Well, I mean, you got this. You know, Best in Show hasn't been on in a year, for Christ's sake. You know, update the goddamn thing. People are looking at, and then you have this thing about the 500 movie or some sort. You know, it hasn't been played in 2 fucking years. Somebody present a movie of some sort.
Why do I get the sense that whenever you're talking, you're playing to an audience of like two? Like, why is it that I get that? Like, you have references and things that you bring up that, like, nobody else gets except for maybe a couple people.
Well, how many people are there?
This gets downloaded by a lot of people.
I'm talking about the Heroes Talk Network. You have a website called HeroesTalk.com, and you have programs on there and advertisements. One of them references a movie
that
hasn't been shown in over 2 years.
Frank, you have no position in talking about what Heroes Talk is or does.
I have an opinion.
No,
I can grant an opinion.
No. You can't speak authoritatively on it because you just proved that you don't know what the fucking shows are.
Authoritatively?
You don't know what the fuck the shows are on the goddamn thing. And when you did know, you didn't listen to them. So don't fucking lecture me on what it is and what it isn't when you don't even give a shit about it.
You have somebody presenting some movie of some played in 2 years.
Hey, Frank. Hey, Frank.
What if somebody goes out there looking for a movie?
Hey, Frank. Did you have anything prepared, or is this what you just wanted to do today?
A lot prepared.
What? Let's hear about it. Let's hear about what you have today.
That's your segue?
No. My segue is I want to hear about the exciting stuff you have prepared because shut the fuck up. Because everything.
What your exciting stuff?
How about you shut the fuck up when I'm talking to you? Because everything anybody else does is pure shit, right? It's not enough effort, but you put in zero. Right? Is that the score? You put in zero. As far as listening to any of it, as far as knowing or being aware of it, you put zero in. But the one or even a half step of effort, which is far exceeding your nothing, is not enough. So you tell me what needs to happen. You're not going to talk? Okay. Frank, thank you for being a part of the show tonight. I really appreciate it. Just a fucking downer. Every fucking time. Oh, wait, did we lose you? Did it reconnect? Oh, no, he hung up. Okay, whatever. Either way, it just eats at me. Absolutely eats at me. Every single time. I don't even know what the fuck is going on. I'm looking at this fucking Hello? Skype. Are you here? Hello?
I'm here now. The call dropped. Hello?
Oh, hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Did you hear anything I just said?
I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Well, let's just leave it like that then.
I'll drop.
I let a little steam off. I'm gonna be completely honest. I let a little steam off. But Frank, it's good to have you.
What'd
you
say?
I said some things and some stuff, but don't worry about it.
What you said? It's gonna come back to me anyway. So just tell me what you said.
I'm sorry. It's gonna come back to you.
Dutch show. Yeah.
It's gonna come back to you. Who's right. going to report it to you?
I'm saying all I have to do is listen to, download the show and listen to it. What are you talking about?
Don't act like you have like a servant that's going to bring it to you.
No,
you're going to listen to it. It's not going to come back to you.
No, what did you say?
You're going to seek it out. Don't act like you're the head of CIA dossier is going to be dropped on your fucking desk.
Tell me what you said, and then we'll start the show.
I probably called you an asshole. You know what? I don't even think I did.
That doesn't even mean anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right, so.
Well, no, I just got a little bit irritated at you. That's all.
No, I could tell I hit a run. That's okay. You got to get the. So how you doing, my friend?
Wait a minute. You got the, and then so how you doing, my friend?
What?
I don't know. I thought we did this already. I thought we did this part, the how you doings. Now it's time to talk about things. Are you prepared to talk about stuff, Frank?
Yeah, I'll let you lead.
Are we going to have a good show tonight?
Of course, and we'll...
You're goddamn right we are, Frank. You're goddamn right. Now, this isn't something that I think we've ever really even talked about in the 10 years since it's happened. I've never really discussed... September 11th, and quite frankly, I think anybody listening to this is already tired of it. Although you can't really say that.
I felt, right?
You can't say that. It's not
No, you can't say. I mean, that's you don't say something.
But isn't it true though?
No, it's not true. No, are you tired of it?
9/11 happens, and it's on Sunday, and they do the all day thing where you know you think back and you tell your story about where you were and what you did, and. And then everybody shares a moment, and they think about the people that were lost. But by Tuesday, do they really want to do it again? Really? I'm a little bit tired of it. I think I've had enough.
I guess you didn't lose.
I'm sorry, what?
I guess you didn't lose anybody in the disaster, did you?
I didn't, but I have to believe.
Would you say you were tired of?
Dude, something is going on with your connection tonight that is just deplorable. Absolutely unforgivable. And I'm sorry that it's happening. Very sorry that it's happening. I'm just gonna cut this video down on Ustream and all the other things. I don't know what's going on, Frank.
Sorry about that.
Oh no, don't apologize, Frank. Don't
ever.
The
video is taking up too much pressure.
Yeah, it's taking up too much pressure. Yeah, I didn't lose anybody in 9/11, but I have to believe that around three days removed from the big ceremonies, somebody that probably lost somebody, lost a family member, probably doesn't want to just live it every day with conversations about these things.
No, I was, I don't know if the nostalgic is the right word, but I was, you know, watching, been listening to actually people. I think even more chilling than sometimes than the video is actually listening to like the audio of people making phone calls. And things of that nature. I think that's even more chilling.
You're hearing the dead talk, right? I mean, and there's something about hearing audio of people that have died, because you don't. And you can watch a commercial or a movie where you know, oh, that guy's dead, but just hearing the voice and having that dead person weave. A conversation and paint pictures in your head with spoken word. That's kind of crazy, and it seems a little bit. I want to say maybe unsettling.
That's a good word.
That they can do this to you from the grave because of recordings. It's weird.
Well, talking about dead people. I mean, are you okay with watching TV shows where the person's dead? Are you okay with that? Or
yeah, I'm okay with that. Maybe another aspect of it also is that it's not acting. It's real. Like
sure.
This is somebody's. You know, you may have bumped into them in the street or seen them like eating a sandwich or just being annoying or doing something. But this is they're channeling whatever they want to say because they know their life is going to end. They're basically trying to write their own conclusion through
the
voice on a phone.
The thing with one guy, he worked for, some bank or something. And he was, saying that, you know, he was walking up to the point where he was going, oh my God, crushing down. And he's saying he's too young to die. And he was saying how arid that is in there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You can't really say anything critical of any of these people or this event without being labeled something of a dick, even if it's kind of honest. Like, do I feel completely bad and I hate that it happened, and I hate that, you know, we were so vulnerable, and I hate that we lost all those people. But I also hate that when someone reads the name of a fallen person, someone who died in the tragedy, they take a 20 seconds out of this really solemn event. They do it every year, but it was extra special this year because some of the family members got to read their family member's name. I saw one of them say, "We love you. You were a great uncle." And go Cowboys. Like, they actually fucking threw a shout-out to the Dallas Cowboys.
It's America's team.
Yeah, it is. I'm surprised you knew that. I'm actually very surprised you knew that. Can you name one Cowboy player?
Past. Frampton.
Who?
Fran Tarkington.
Okay, can you name one from the 90s?
No.
Jesus. I think if you asked...
Was Fred talking to the Cows, was he a Cowboy?
I believe so. I believe so. But, look, I don't know. People are saying he wasn't a Cowboy.
What the fuck do I know?
He was a Viking. I don't know. I know I've heard the name. Is that somebody that sells insurance? Or like
no.
Former?
You never heard of Fran Tarkington?
I just said I heard the name. You obviously know as much about him as I do.
He used to be on a show called That's Incredible back in the 80s. Do you remember That's Incredible?
Yeah.
With Skip Stevenson and Sarah Purcell?
Wow. I would love to just pick your brain apart or have it downloaded into some kind of a hard drive.
Oh, what the fuck? That was a show called Real People. Now he was on Fred Tarkington with it was a show called That's Incredible, and it had like feet.
Yeah.
With John somebody or.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the with his call. I don't know. Yeah, you're. Are you doing anything with your internet connection, Frank? I love doing this on the show, but you know it's got to be done. Are you there? Can you hear
yes.
me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Oh, I can hear you. But, yeah, it was a little unnerving to hear her, you know, near tears, saying a little something to her family member, and then taking 5 seconds to say, "Go Cowboys." And then you move on to a firefighter who's going to read his friend's name, who is holding himself back from blubbering. Like, you can't go between, like, a mother who's reading her son's name and then to someone fucking hoping a sports team wins.
I had sent you. Did you get a chance to see that link I sent you the other day?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, and that's something I wanted to discuss, and you tell me your opinion. There were approximately 200 jumpers from the WTC.
Is this something that you have to, that you feel compelled to do?
What?
Like, if there's an abbreviation for a place, you have to use it?
Like, thanks, I didn't want to say it.
I mean, I've seen it written because it saves headline space, but nobody really says WTC.
Okay, so anyway, I had asked you yesterday, and you gave me a definitive answer, and I want to know if you've changed your tune. I asked you, I said, do you consider the people who jumped, do you feel that they committed suicide? And you immediately said yes.
So, well, by the way, terrible setup, first of all.
Well, why don't you do it, genius?
Well, the best way to do it would have been to just ask me and then have me answer and then, you know, feed off my answer rather than just say, you know,
wait,
while
you
we
could
were
do the same thing.
In between talking about, like, Nintendo games and the time I played Xbox. And,
well, instead
you know,
of doing what you're doing now, what was the question?
Well, I want to admonish you a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead. Go for it if it makes you feel better.
Okay. So, Frank, you were telling me something about the jumpers. You were asking me if someone who jumped out of a building to their death would be considered a suicide.
No, in this situation, do you think it was suicide?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, because the experts don't think it is.
The experts.
Right.
The experts of jumping out of buildings. What are they experts on, and why are you referring to them as such?
Well,
are they just the people that wrote the article?
No, they're saying that these are the medical examiners. That's why the medical examiners didn't rule it out as a they didn't call it a suicide.
Were they thrown out of the building?
No, but some of them cases where they think some of them may have been pushed out the window because there were so many at the window that eventually they would just have been. You know, obviously not on purpose, but...
Okay, well then, now that you say that, I will say that the ones that were pushed out of the window probably did not commit suicide. They were murdered.
Okay.
And so now that's even worse, right? That the person that was trying to kill himself actually committed murder before they killed themselves. Well,
the people who jumped and landed on other people, and those people died.
Did that happen? The people that were on the ground?
There was a fireman was killed and a priest was killed.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I didn't even hear about that.
There was a priest. And he himself got a body landed on him while.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. Well, I mean, you think about it this way. You know you're going to end, and you have basically two choices. You know you can't get down, and it's useless to try and go up. So that's not even a choice. You can either stay where you are and be crushed or burnt to death, or you can jump out of the window and maybe try and work some aerodynamics like a fucking flying squirrel or something, or hope that through some freak of physics and nature you live. I think choosing, you know, doing that... I would jump. I would jump. And you could say I killed myself all you want, but, I mean, you could also argue the same thing. Like, if I stayed in the building, I got killed. If I jumped out of the building, yeah, I killed myself, but I tried not to get killed. I mean, it's the only thing you could really do, right? that has even the most remote of chances to live, right?
Right.
Now, do you know from any of the numbers how many of the people jumped out of the building? You know, the South Tower went first or second? Like, after jumped out of a building after having seen the other one collapse, is that more the case than people that just jumped out because they couldn't get out of the first tower?
Well, the first person who jumped out only 10 minutes or 15 minutes after he got hit, the tower got hit. So
that guy has just no hope. That guy hadn't had no fun. Either he's extremely has the best foresight, or he just, you know, was looking for any excuse. I don't know. 10 minutes after it happens, you just jump.
Well, maybe he was in those floors where, you know, they were, you know.
Well, he must be pretty astute to figure it out in 10 minutes. Well, I think you don't even realize what happened until 5 minutes in. By the way, I'm speaking authoritatively. That's the second time I've used that word. I am speaking as someone who's never even been in that building. If you would like to call the show, if you'd like to call the show, the number is 316-768-4472. Do you think, Frank? Would you say the jumpers were committing suicide?
I would not say that they were.
They weren't.
They were not. No.
And your reasoning?
Because none of them who did that were ruled as suicide. They were. It was all. It was, and the medical examiner ruled it as blunt force trauma.
Oh, I wish I was a medical examiner because I could just decide what somebody died from or what somebody did, and you would believe it. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with a sympathetic germ freak. Who's this?
Hi, it's Casey.
Casey, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing
Hello.
Okay.
How are you?
Oh, super. So listen, I'll forewarn you by saying I took my Ativan early, and I'm totally loopy.
Okay.
But, so I had to watch a lot of that 9/11, you know, stuff over the weekend and whatever, basically for no other reason than it was the only thing to watch. You didn't really have a lot of options.
Yeah.
So I'm watching it, and there was a clip that they showed. It was the first time I had, like, cried about it, I think, since it really happened. You know, every other anniversary kind of went and, you know, passed and whatever. So, they had this guy on the phone. He's like on the 110th story fucking of the second. Which tower fell first?
Whichever one did. I don't know.
Okay, so we'll name the one that fell first number one. So number one was still, you know, had gotten hit or whatever. And everyone in number two was deciding whether they were evacuating or not. So they're calling their spouses and, you know, trying to get information about what they see on the TV and this and that. And a voice comes over the intercom saying, everybody stay where you are. Oof. It's like, it's 9:02 a.m. And all I can think of, it was like, how did that person sleep at night if they're alive?
they probably, they don't have to be in that building either, I don't think. You could just call that in.
I would think that would be from, like, downstairs in the lobby area,
yeah.
You know, where someone, you know, potentially could have left. Stay where you are. They had about 10 minutes left, and, you know, they probably wouldn't have made it. But to have that on your conscience, if you're still alive, that you basically caused, I would say, at least 20 to 30 deaths minimum, because a lot of people ignored it, I'm sure, and, you know, whatever.
Of course.
20 to 30, maybe 50 deaths, because you were telling them it was safe and okay and to stay. You could turn over the intercom.
Well,
can you imagine living on the earth like that?
So you saw this. This is a video or whatever that they replayed. And they'll probably replay every time now, right?
Of course.
So,
that guy himself who made that announcement actually died himself.
Well, way to be on the absolute wrong side of history. You couldn't be any fucking wronger in your decision. Just stay here. It'll all blow over.
Yeah, they were saying, over the intercom, he said something like, stay where you are because there's debris falling from the building outside. So if people outside are getting hit with things, so just stay where you are. You guys aren't in any immediate danger. I mean, clearly the guy didn't know another plane was going to kill them in a matter of, like, 3 minutes.
Sure.
But to be that guy,
yeah,
I would have much rather had to pull shrapnel out of my back than fucking blow up. I don't know.
I was listening to Veal Chop's podcast he does with Pristine and Brian, formerly from Best in Show, and he was describing his experience of being in a high-rise building during like the mini earthquake that happened. And he said he heard a similar voice where it almost sounded like the voice of God, because he never knew they had the speakers, and he just heard, "Stay calm, stay where you are." And as soon as he heard it, he was already out of the fucking building.
Yeah, you don't fuck. Seriously, that guy has no idea. And I heard that in most of those buildings, there's someone per floor has to be like the fire guy of that floor, right? Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
Like someone who works for like whatever company. They are the fire marshal of their floor or whatever. The fire marshal was the first dead on the floor.
Oh, my God.
That they were interviewing this woman whose husband was there on the phone with her. And this woman also I wanted to kill because she told her husband to go to the roof and wave.
Are you fucking serious? You're on CNN!
I'm like, what? No helicopter can get near flames like that.
No.
It's not possible. It just doesn't happen. And she's like, I thought he could be rescued from the roof. I'm like, this is, you killed your husband too.
Yeah. Bruce Willis is not fucking... Bruce Willis was unable to get to everybody that fucking day. So it didn't happen. The other thing was, I say I would have jumped, but it's really just knowing what happened and knowing that I would have either been smashed by the floor above me or just burned like the highly flammable thing that I am. And I'm choosing, the most exciting of the two, having that one ride down. But I remember being in college when it happened and talking, about it, just like we're doing now with somebody that I guess was in one of my classes. And they said, you know what? There's metal grooves there between the windows. You probably could climb down. Like fucking Spider-Man is trapped.
Also, I think there might be a scale issue here because those are full floors. Those windows were full floor.
Exactly.
Not like they were put together like a ladder. That was 10 feet between each little grid piece.
I would just...
Fucking not happening.
You could do... You know how you see people like Jackie Chan? He runs up from corner to corner and he scales a building?
Your friend's a fucking idiot.
Don't call him my friend. Please don't call him my friend. He was just somebody who was there. And in the veil of just confusion, I decided to speak to him, whereas I would never have done it. But yeah, that type of stuff where people are just permanently cemented on the wrong side of what happened.
I'm sure they didn't come up with that on their own. You could tell it was like some black woman downstairs who worked in security, just doing what she was told. But on her in her conscious mind, every day she's like, a couple more people could have fucking gotten out if I hadn't just fucking said that. I could have pretended the mics didn't work, whatever. But I mean, logically, if I were in her position, I would say I would remain calm. Everyone would remain calm and just head on out, Since everybody, let's just go outside.
Stay your ass at your desk. Stay your ass at your motherfucking desk. I got my ass the fuck up out of there, though. I ain't gonna die. I don't know. It weighs on anybody. Like, people that live nearby, it weighs on. That they could have done things or whatever. But having commanded people to stay where they are, that would be a rough one to get over.
Yeah. Now, Ken, here's a question. When it happened, did you do anything overly patriotic?
You know what? I may have put... an American flag in my AOL instant message profile.
Okay.
I did
Oh, good. All right. Frank, you?
Well, I put one of those flags on the outside of my car like everybody had that you hick onto your window.
Okay. So you didn't put like the one that said Osama, most wanted like everyone else had?
What, with like Calvin from Calvin Hobbs pissing on him or something like that?
I was in Westchester at the time, and everyone there had it ran on like a Post or a New York Daily or something, and it was a picture of him in like gun sights. It's the number one most wanted.
Yeah, and it's like a wooden background.
Yeah, it was really atrocious looking.
Yeah, that's pretty
bad.
But
that was up for a while. You know what I did? I started a food drive.
Nice.
That's what I did, and I delivered it downtown.
That's pretty good.
You know what I got for that? Nothing. I felt so sick because it was already like a week later and everyone had kind of already gone, had more supplies than they knew what to do with. I show up with like a truck of shit. I'm like, oh. Okay.
We've got Funfetti cake mix, guys. Funfetti cake mix and icing. Who needs it?
I got all the local stores near the store I was working for to like donate stuff. So I'm like, all these way too perishable items. Like, I'm like, hey, does anyone have freezers for these?
I remember once Amanda said that she needed like canned goods or something because, you know, we were going to go to some like, I don't know, Oktoberfest dinner. And, you know, it was a food drive. So you bring like, you know, food, not non-perishables. She brought Funfetti cake mix and icing. Not even like, not even all the ingredients like you would use to make the cake, just like old icing and old cake mix that was probably discontinued. I don't think they make Funfetti anymore.
Going to what made that funnier is when she had to drop it in that box where they collect the food. If there were actually hungry people standing there who were like,
it's like, good, guys. Just wait till you put it in your ovens. Oh, I'm sorry. It's good dry. It's still good
that
dry.
That's because you're carrying a carton of eggs. Yeah. Come over here, mister. Yeah,
it's fucking. You know what? It's old, too, so you could probably just rub it against your rotting teeth to try and clean them. It might be good. Might work that way.
Well, at least you tried. We all tried. We stood together for about 2 months, and then we stopped standing together forever.
Yeah, I had a friend that, like, in 98... he was the guy that had the flag on his car, like for no reason. He just he decided he didn't like the Indian kids in high school, and he outfitted his Mercury Cougar with the ground effects and the fog lights with two American flags, like he was like being driven to the embassy or something. Like in Coming America, you know when they have the little flags. He had that, but they were both American, and they were like the flag you'd salute to in grade school on either side. And so I saw him after, you know, everybody decided to put flags in their car, and he no longer had them. I think that was when like people that look like Best in Show Brian stopped liking Nirvana. I think that's the kind of thing that he went through.
I will say this, though, about 9/11. I was living in New York at the time. And when it happened, it was one of the coolest, I mean, it's horrible to say, but it was kind of a cool day that I was managing a record store at the time in, like, a small town, about, like, 45 minutes north of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. So everybody's telling everyone, go home, just go home, go home. So I walk across the street to my boyfriend at the time, went to the comic book place. I'm sitting there, we're watching TV, and it's kind of like making that off ground zero, and watching all this horrible news. No one's coming in. There's no one on the street. No one's driving. Although, all of a sudden, two people fully covered in black, all hidden, whatever, come in with their kids, and it's Susan Sarandon and Tim Robbins buying baseball cards on 9/11.
Really?
I'm looking at them. I'm looking at the news, and I can't believe it. I spent more time looking at the news than them because I was... It was so surreal. They were both on their cell phones. Like, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. And their kid's like, do we have this one, Dad? Like,
Sammy Sosa! Sammy Sosa!
It made the day kind of, like, more surreal than it ever could have possibly been. Like, it's just so weird.
Yeah, that's actually one of those things, like, they didn't care because no one would believe you. Like, that type of thing.
No.
That's why they went out to all the stores. They get to feel... you know, real and unfamous for a little bit.
Yeah, I guess so. One other thing, though, I don't know if New Jersey gets it as much. Like, you don't live anywhere near Manhattan. I mean, you do, but you don't really understand.
I don't. Let's say I don't.
Okay. All right. So I lived in New York at the time, and when I moved to the South around 2002-ish, like mid-2002, people would come up to me and be like, what was it like when the towers went down? Not knowing that I didn't live anywhere near Manhattan. But for some reason in the South, if you say New York, you lived in lower Manhattan. I could have been from fucking Syracuse. They still wanted to know what it looked like when the towers went down. I'm like, you watch the news too? We saw the same thing. I don't know what it is. But I don't think if you say you're from Jersey, people would want to know what September 11th was like.
Yeah, they would never, ever ask
you. They would never put the two together.
Do you feel that this September 11th will be a forever jaded?
What do you mean jaded?
Well, would you have a party?
A Candlebox fan?
No, I'm saying what I mean by that is, I know we have a friend named Jeffrey Shane. His brother got married on September 11th. Would you, you know, something like that? Do you feel that was in bad taste?
Bad taste?
No, I mean we know why they did that, because they got it cheap.
Right, right.
Well, you know, that's not some bad taste. Just being cheap.
Somehow, I think the date should be erased from the calendar.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
Yeah. You think it should be erased from the calendar?
Obviously not, but do you feel it's a jaded date?
Obviously not. You said it.
What?
What do you mean, obviously not? If you just actually said that, you think it should be erased. What do you want to replace it with? A heart?
Just go from September 9th to September.
Oh, it's September heart.
How many years do you think it'll take? Because I said 50 before the name stopped being read. Like, it's going to take like another generation and a half before people stop going down there and reading the names and doing all that.
Yeah, because they're already doing that, the children of 9/11 thing, where they have like the 10-year-olds on the cover of magazines and newspapers. I think another 10 years, it's going to be kind of done.
You think so, 10? I'm going to give it till those kids are parents.
Oh, until they have kids. Well, then that'll be like a revival. They'll have like the grandchildren of 9/11.
Don't you feel that the victims who were in the
like
Pentagon?
Like bell bottoms, it's just going to keep coming back.
Yes.
Like, no. I don't see that happening. I give it 50 years when they're in their adult ways, and then these fucking kids are going to be like, what are we doing here? This was 50 years ago.
Think about Pearl Harbor, though. It took way shorter than 50 years.
Pearl Harbor, what do they do now? They just put the reefs down. They don't do the whole fucking craziness, do they?
No, they don't do anything. They just,
no, they do.
You
they
know,
have like a thing, but it's not what it used to be. They used to do a whole to-do.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah, I'm sure. There was always a great to-do. Like, remember the Maine. That's something people only read about and memorize for tests. Eventually, it's going to just be something on a cheat sheet. Like, oh, I don't know. That was like my great-grandfather died in 9/11. Whatever, you know.
What kind of? Did you watch any of the name reading at all?
Well, actually, weirdly enough, I turned it on and Neo's stepdad's name was being read, and then like,
really?
Yeah, weird. And then like a couple.
Well, I didn't know you stayed all the way to the elves for Lucky Bastard.
Holy shit!
Wow!
Holy shit!
Jesus!
I mean, what?
Neo, our thoughts and prayers are out with your family, of course. But it was only like four. Like I kind of it took a few more names after that, and I figured out that I'm like, oh my god, this guy reading the names is breaking down. He's only in the D's of the last names, but he was reading a name of I guess someone like his closest friend or his son or something. And then like two people later, they were rooting for the Cowboys to win. And that didn't. And not only that, your husband Eastside Dave is very much into sports. He would tell us that if I were to ask, the Cowboys did not win.
No.
So her wishes, her greedy wishes, were not only ignored but reversed.
Correct.
Embarrassing fashion, they lost.
Maybe God really does hate fags and is really fighting us.
Jesus. Oh my god.
I don't know. I did say that every single time you would see the new set of people about to read, like I almost wanted to like put money on it, whether she would get the names right. Like if you saw an old Jewish lady come up there, I'm like, oh my god, we're in the Espinozas.
We're in the Espinoza. It's true. There were like about 17 DeJesus people.
Yeah, oh my god. Or there was a lot of like even in the A's, like Abad, you know, and this and that, like Indian names.
Yeah,
and I just the people reading them were struggling. I guess they didn't get that much. They don't get their list much in advance.
Man, like it's
I would have had that shit practiced.
It's embarrassing to be a telemarketer and get the name wrong of the person you're talking to. How much more embarrassing is it to get the name wrong of the dead person you're remembering on the 10-year anniversary of the most major terrorist attack ever?
Do you think they were given their names in advance?
What, to rehearse?
Yeah.
Like, I would think they would have, but I guess some people just really thought that's how it was said.
Jesus.
There were some kids knocking out some, you know, Del Flacos and this and that. I'm like, that's not a normal name, you know, the kids would know. So, I mean, yeah. I think they do, but I think this old Jewish woman that I'm thinking of specifically really didn't know how to say Espinoza. I really think she...
Did she have the daytime sunglasses on, like the always, the those lenses that turn into sunglasses?
Perhaps.
They had those things in commercials. I think the transitions lenses and the first. I had seen them for years, but then I was watching an episode of Cheaters with Joey Greco. I think was the host of Cheaters, the glasses. And then they cut to commercial, and it was the transitions commercials. And he's one of the no line people wearing the fucking lenses. Oh. He's actually in the Transitions Lenses commercial, which is being played on probably a rerun of a show that he used to do.
That's impossible. That sounds very impossible.
No, it's not. It is not.
Get on him, Joey Greco.
I think he was on 21 Jump Street.
No, that's Richard Greco.
Yeah. Get your Grecos right, Frank. Jesus.
Oh, they're making a 21 Jump Street movie, though. And apparently Johnny Depp's on board, but no one else.
Really? I'm surprised because he hated being in that show, he always would say in interviews.
He hated being in that show.
He said he didn't like being on that show. He in a lot of interviews I read that he didn't like being on that show.
Oh, boo-hoo. Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah, he should thank his lucky stars because
does he like being the same fucking... Does he like being the pirate for the last fucking 15 years?
You know, you can say what you want about him. He's one of the most versatile actors around today.
Is he?
Dude, the guy takes risks. Come on, dude.
What was his biggest risk?
He's playing Willy Wonka, and he never... All of his roles... I mean, come on.
Let's say
Tom Cruise play a fucking pirate or Willy Wonka.
Frank, Tom Cruise played a Japanese ninja. All right? to say it's a risk to play one of the most beloved characters of all time, Willy Wonka, seriously, is that a risk?
Dude, the guy
the biggest risk of his fucking career would be gambling with Tim Burton's life, because if that motherfucker ever goes, he is out of roles.
I mean, he does a lot of unconventional roles. He doesn't do the typical...
No, he does Tim Burton roles. That's it.
Yeah.
They're not unconventional. They're pretty much written for him.
Yeah. That's it.
I like the guy. I'm not shitting on it, but that's what they are.
All right. Better actor, Cruise or him?
Cruise.
Casey.
Cruise.
Come on.
I just don't
want
to see his movies. I'm going to go with Johnny Depp.
Absolutely.
Cruise. He puts behind his roles.
I got to say that Johnny Depp in Cry Baby is one of my favorite movies of all time.
That was Johnny Depp's second movie.
Frank, are you looking at an IMDb page?
I swear to God, I'm not.
Or are you a former subscriber to Teen Beat?
No, his first movie obviously was Nightmare on Elm Street, where he had a very small part.
Oh, I see.
Now I know.
Thanks. Way to really bring up your love of Johnny Depp as we're discussing the thousands of people that died on September 11, 2001. It's all about your interests, Frank.
At least we all sit up.
Just trying to lighten the mood up a little bit, that's all.
That's true.
Change the country.
Well, Casey, thank you very much for calling in. I got to say that is... fucking amazing that viable celebrities.
Those were celebrities. For sure.
They were royalty.
I bet they were. They were probably on their cell phones talking about like how they're going to raise money. They're those kind of people too.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are we going to clothe these motherfuckers?
Or they were both just pretending to be on cell phones so they didn't have to talk to each other. Because that didn't
Poor
work
me,
out.
Who was staring intently at them going, oh my God, you were in Rocky Horror. Yeah. No one else would think that when seeing them but me.
Jesus.
All right, whatever. All right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Take care of yourself. Okay. You know, Frank, I got to say, I think this was the first time I've ever heard the names being read. And I heard about 35 names. I don't like, I didn't want to be brought down. Right. Is that selfish? I mean, I'm not trying to be selfish. I don't want to discount the day or what it meant, but I kind of try to steer away from that stuff. Remember it in my own way, you know?
Well, I mean, that's...
It's almost inescapable.
What is your own way?
My own way is just to kind of go, wow, 10 years already, huh? Jesus Christ. and then basically do whatever I was doing. That's any time I realize that a chunk of 10 years has passed since something I remember happened. Mm-hmm. It's Jesus, that many years, holy shit! And then back to what I'm doing. I do remember because I went to Rutgers in New Brunswick, which you know, it's a pretty bad area surrounded by a lot of really low rent towns. They had some delis there that were Arab owned. And I remember I went into one, and as soon as I walked in, everybody had the TV on, you know, even if you had the TV on at all, it was covering that. But he had it on, but as soon as I walked in, the guy made an extra effort to say, "This son of a bitch, Bin Laden is a son of a bitch," like over the top.
Barood.
Barood. Hello, I am Barood. Yeah, he would go way over the top. Just cursing out Osama bin Laden. And I'm sure as we left, he didn't keep that up. I'm just saying, he probably wanted to sell a few more fat cats.
He was scared of you.
He wanted to sell fat cats. This is what he wanted to do. I don't know, Frank.
Isn't that... You used to stay at the Liberty Tavern, right? That's where you used to rent? The Liberty Tavern?
The Liberty Tavern?
I mean, the Lunabelle or...
I was on the... Across the street from... Liberty Tavern above Lunabelle.
Right.
You don't know anything. Why? Do you ever just like remember a name and then like say it?
Lately, it's been not been do too good.
Not been do too good.
Anyway,
what do you mean lately it hasn't been too good? You're losing your memory. Would you say?
Come on. I can't remember anything anymore. My brain is just oatmeal. It's just awful oatmeal.
It's awful oatmeal. It's not even. It's that powdery instant packet with the puzzle.
I thought we could lighten up the mood a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, let's lighten up the mood a little bit. By the way, rest in peace, Tupac. Today, 15 years ago.
Tupac of what? Cigarettes?
Oh wow! I remember. I was listening to my iPod at my old job, and the IT guy came in. And he goes, "Why are you listening on your headphones? Are you listening to that 'To Wash My Car' guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm listening to him." Just like the most fucking douche-chilling attempt at humor, which you actually just did on my show. Thank you. 15 years ago he died. And I only know that because I saw it as a trending topic on Twitter. And when I clicked on it, I saw that the top tweet was from. Are you aware of who Reverend Run is?
From Run DMC?
Yes.
He was killed.
Reverend Run?
Yes.
He's dead?
Yes.
So maybe that's why he's posting such.
Oh, no, isn't it? No.
It was Jam Master
one
J.
One of them's dead.
Jam Master J.
Jam Master J. And he's the one who doesn't have his name in the group.
That's true. That's true. Well, Reverend Run has a Twitter. Aptly named Rev Run Wisdom, and it is the most awful thing I've ever seen. He wrote because, you know, Tupac died 15 years ago. Rest in peace, Tupac. I often wonder what Tupac's blank would be like if he was still with us. What do you think that the blank was, Frank?
Oh, I like this. What his blank would be. What his,
rest in peace, Tupac. I often wonder what Tupac's blank would be like if he was still with us.
Things, well, obviously and, the first thing that comes
and,
in your
and,
head is...
And that has a hashtag of things that make you go, is what he has. What do you think?
You think of is penis, obviously.
You think a member of Run DMC... is often thinking about what Tupac's penis would be like.
Say the quote again, please.
How is that your first fucking thing?
Say the quote again with the blank, please.
Do you want me to make sure I say who it's from so you don't start thinking of his testicles or scrotum?
No, it's from Reverend Run.
Yes. Rap and hip-hop pioneer. Okay?
Right.
Rest in peace, Tupac. I often wonder what Tupac's blank would be like if he was still with us. Hashtag... things that make you go,
career.
Interesting. You would think, right? Or maybe albums, or maybe interviews, right? You would think that, right?
I think career.
Hmm. You're wrong.
What is it?
Rest in peace, Tupac. I often wonder what Tupac Twitter feed would read like.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
If he was still with us. Things that make you go home. You motherfucker. Honestly, that's what you wonder? You often think about what Tupac would tweet about? If he was with you today? Like, this is the type of thing that that like somebody who's in the Diablo 3 beta would wonder if they're almost into hip-hop. Like, yeah, I wonder, yo, you know, I wonder if what Tupac's Twitter would be like. Let's go pretend to be a fucking barbarian and sell fucking gold rings to fucking Koreans. I don't know. Just that really fucking bothered me.
Did it rub you the wrong way?
It rubbed me the exact wrong way. Like, you think of the wrongest way you could be rubbed, that's how it rubbed me. Just like every other tweet by this motherfucker.
Did you follow this guy?
No, I looked at his feed to make sure it was like someone who was, you know, what is the word? Verified. And so I clicked on his name, and I see that he's got just the worst shit. The Lord is kind. He did not bring you this far to leave you. Nope. Hands raised in praise. You know, just like, you know, you did tougher than leather. That was good. We don't need your fucking shoebox greeting cards tweeted to us. No, I'm really hard-pressed to think of anybody who would enjoy hearing little snippets of Reverend Run's wisdom. Supposed wisdom. Just fucking dumb. I'm sorry. I went from thousands of deaths to one notable death, and here you are trying to lighten the mood of the show.
I try to lighten the mood of the show a little bit.
You trying to lighten it up a little bit?
Trying to lighten it up. I got a new one, my friend.
You got a new what?
I got a new one. I mean, I thought I was tapped out, but as you know, I am the quintessential expert in Seinfeld impressions.
So you have a new Seinfeld
one.
Theme.
I have a new Seinfeld impression.
Ladies and gentlemen, behold, Frank has a new Seinfeld impression.
Should I go over a couple of the old ones?
You would think a show that went off the air in 1998 would just offer no new ground for this man to cover.
What I do is do impressions of guest character, of actor. I don't do the main cast because that would be too easy. I do people who you were on the show once, you never see them again.
Okay, sure.
For example...
By the way, Frank, you have a litany of these. This is something that you're very passionate about.
I am. I have an arsenal.
Hit us with your funky shit. Hit us with the fucking top three.
I'll do the top three, and then I'll do my new one. Is that okay?
Sure, please.
Okay. In no particular order... This is when Kramer was getting calzones for
what do I know about cooking a shirt?
And
what's the next one? Okay, really, continue, please. You're not that fucking appalled. Just okay. Please continue.
All right. This is when George asked Kramer to get the calzones for Mr. Steinbrenner because Kramer couldn't go into the pizza place because he got banned, and Kramer wanted his shirts to be warmed up in the oven, and so he warmed his shirt up in the oven. And then when
what
he pulled it,
do I know about
out,
cooking a shirt? Next, what's the next one? Move on.
And the guy says, what the hell do I know about cooking a shirt?
Yes. Next.
All right, the next one is probably one of the most popular that I do. And this starred
Bingo.
The
All right. Next. Was that the one?
This starred the deaf actress Marlee Matlin, and she was a ball girl.
Yes, she is.
And Jerry was trying to get her attention, and he says to her, what are you, deaf? And she says,
Banco.
Banco.
Yeah. Okay, next.
All right. Refresh my memory a little bit, because I'm
– you'll catch a death of cold.
Oh, that's Sedona. All right, here's my new one, okay?
It's a breach of the dry cleaner's code.
Oh, yeah. Jerry, is it
pretty? You had to get the big salad.
Yeah, well, you see.
Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon?
You do the, yeah. Anyway, here's my new impression. This is a guy who appeared in one episode.
Yes.
African-American gentleman. He played the part of Jean-Paul. Or Jean-Pierre, I believe. Or Jean-Paul. And he was a runner. Did you see this episode? And he was staying at Jerry's place. And he overheard somebody talking. He overheard George talking about his employer, how they talked. And they would use a lot of cursing when they talked. So this is Jean-Paul. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This is Jean-Paul in Elaine's hallway. Elaine sees and Jean-Paul sees a little baby in Elaine's hallway, and he says, "Oh, look at the cute little bastard."
There you have it, folks.
Do you remember that episode?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Kramer, his biological alarm clock wasn't working.
That's correct.
He got there late, threw scalding water on his face.
You know, for people who didn't hear, "Oh, look at the cute little bastard." That's another impression that I do.
You know, you're getting to the point where you don't remember your impressions because they're so fucking minor and uneventful.
Well, maybe you think so, but I don't.
No, I'm glad that you have those things to cling on to.
Thank you.
You're just lightening the mood, Frank. Keeping it light for everybody. Very good. You know, a little lighthearted humor. Like the joke that's going around at my new job. There is now I've spoken about our bathroom, our piss pot, our constantly wet floor. I've spoken about this many, many times. And an email was sent to everybody because someone complained that the bathroom door was roped off. Our private bathrooms for our employees, roped off. And the email that came around was that there were plumbing issues and that the flushing was causing the bathroom below us, on the floor below us, to flood. So the water that was being flushed in our bathroom was dripping and flooding the fucking bathroom downstairs. And I got a few replies that were saying that if there was a floor above us, that would explain our wet bathroom. It's that fucking well known that people are pissing on the floor that it's a goddamn chain letter joke. Just a fucking joke. It is so filthy, disgusting in there.
Now, this is coming from somebody who really doesn't mind public bathrooms.
I don't
mind
them.
And you yourself are disgusted.
You know what? I don't think of it as a public bathroom. It
what
is.
What would you consider? Is it in your home?
No.
Okay, then. It's a public bathroom, my friend.
But just hear me out on this, okay? Just like you put a little effort into convincing yourself that the jumpers from the World Trade Center.
Continue. We're waiting with bated breath.
Hey, Frank, look, I know you love doing that, but occasionally humans will use a few sentences to make a point, and then they won't just leave everybody listening flat.
Go for it.
So just like the way that you were convinced that the jumpers from the towers were not committing suicide, I have convinced myself that this public bathroom is not necessarily a public bathroom because the people using it are people that you are with every day, day in and day out. And it's almost like, a little cliche to say this, an extended family. These are people that share the bathroom with you. You work with these people. This isn't like a bus station where someone who's halfway to fucking a Steak and Shake in Columbus, Ohio, is going to just piss on the floor and never be seen there again. Day in and day out. So there should be some reasonable expectation that it's going to be reasonably clean. There will be a minimum of urine on any surface. As minimum
as you
minimal
ever
as
accidentally
get.
Dripped on the floor in that bathroom?
No. Never. Not a drop. Not a fucking drop. And you know how I know? Because I now go in there every time and I sit down because I look at my phone. Even if I have to piss.
What they should do is test that urine and take samples from everybody and find out who the culprit is.
Yeah, like a Brady Bunch episode. Like, let's all line up, kids, and find out who the pisser is. Like, people are going to come forward.
Do you think it's somebody now just being a dick on purpose because they know it's pissing people off?
No, I just think it's someone who can't contain their piss through whatever means that is. Whether they can't shit and piss at the same time, they have to choose because maybe they're a little overweight. They can't tuck their dick through their fucking thighs. So when they sit to take a shit, because that takes precedence, they just let the piss fly. Or it's someone who really just is a little groggy and pisses on the floor, I don't know, every day. But that's not beside the point. Or that's beside the point of the fact that it's so renowned around the people that have to use it that it's becoming a little bit of an inside joke where you can make a wet joke about the bathroom floor and everybody knows it's piss. Okay? They think bathroom floor, they think piss. Now, I've mentioned that people bring things into the bathroom, and I noticed this because you can hear people walking in. It's all tiled. It's very the sound bounces around, and you can hear the pages of people going through files. You can hear someone putting a cup down on the bathroom sink and then going into the stall. So I've gone out and washed my hands, and I saw somebody's fucking coffee cup right next to the sink. And it makes sense. You want to go get coffee after you go to the bathroom, so you have to bring your cup. So you bring it to the bathroom. I personally would never do that because I think it's disgusting. But people do that, and I'm grossed out by it. But Frank, I've encountered the worst possible instance of bringing things into the bathroom, into our notably disgusting bathroom. I was taking a shit. A smelly shit, and it was taking some time. In the stall next to me, someone sits down. And then I hear it. Thunk. And I notice out of the corner of my eye, fingers go, they break the plane of the barrier. And I see fingers now, to my left, putting a coffee cup down on the floor.
Oh, God.
Someone brought their coffee cup with them into the bathroom and decided, I got to bring it in the stall with me.
Didn't you want to know who it was? Did you find out who it was?
I had to know, but I couldn't find out. Not only that, Frank, I saw the cup. So there's only, I could probably put it together based on
the cup. You got to put it together.
I got to find out who this is because, Frank, that wasn't it. Like, this is a wet floor permanently. It's always wet, and it's never just a runny, broken it's in patterns indicative of pissing going on. So the worst part of this, Frank, is not that the guy put the cup on the floor. It's that occasionally, like, during the same shit, corner of my eye, I see the hands break the plane again. And the cup goes back up. And then the cup goes back down.
I hope at least he's holding it by the handle, not like cupping it at the bottom of the cup.
It's one of those cups that you sip out of. You know, like a hard version of a Starbucks cup?
Right.
If it's below, if you're sitting on a toilet and you're putting one of those on the ground to the side of you, think of how you're grabbing that. Your palm is on the dome lid. And you're putting it down on the floor. And then they picked it up and did whatever. I don't know what with it. Maybe they read it. Or maybe, Frank, what I really think they did, maybe they took a sip out of it. They just took a fucking sip out of it and then put it back down. I think that happened a few times. One or two times. Pick it up, put it down. A goddamn coffee cup in the stall. Resting, and then you know where it's going to go. It's going to go on the fucking countertop. Nobody cleans the bottom of their coffee cup. Are you serious?
And the countertop that you're going to put your own cup on.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a germaphobe, Frank. You know this to be true.
But even this is bothering you.
It's bothering me because every one of those thermos cups has a fucking sponge bottom. Those rubber fucking cushion padding sponge bottoms. So some piss was soaked up into the bottom of that fucking cup, and it's going to be like a rubber stamp every time they put it down.
And you say it with jest, but it really will be sucked up, the piss.
It will be, of course. Of course it will be. Those fucking little rubber cushion things are just really tightly wound sponges. It'll soak it up, and they'll dab it every time they put it down. It'll dab a little moist square on the countertop.
A little dab will do you.
That's true. A little dab will do you. I'd never bring a coffee cup into the fucking bathroom, let alone drink from it when
now,
I'm in
there.
Now,
would you bring a coffee cup in your home bathroom?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. I'm not put off by my own. But, and you know what, to be honest, I think in the past I probably said that at my old job. I probably would have eaten lunch in the bathroom stall because there was no evidence of any waste. But now, the waste is undeniable. Undeniable. It's folklore at this point. I heard from former employees that there was a fucking memo put out in the past asking that people not piss on the floor. In better, more politically correct terms. I actually heard this from a previous employee. A fucking memo had to be put out. We ask that men please stop urinating on the floor. I didn't get to see it. Obviously, it might be a lie. It might be part of the joke. But think of how dirty a bathroom must be for me to halfway believe that. Just fucking abysmal.
If you found out the individual whose cup that was that put it on the ground, would you?
No, I wouldn't say a goddamn thing to them. I would be wary of things that they give me. If I saw that they were taking gumballs out of a fucking candy dish on someone's desk, I wouldn't go and sample them. I wouldn't share food with that person. I mean, there's already a guy who brushes his teeth in that fucking bathroom, which freaks me the fuck out, by the way, every time I see it. Some guy just flossing and fucking brushing his teeth.
There's something about, like, water. Like, would you have a problem getting a cup and filling it with bathroom water from a bathroom sink and drinking it? Does that bother you?
From my own bathroom?
No. From say, the work or a public bathroom. Don't you think that even though it's water,
yes,
that you think it's more dirtier?
It is, because that it's coming out of that fucking spigot. That every time a bathroom smells, it's airborne. And every time it doesn't, it has settled on something.
I think you yourself told me that when somebody passes wind, that those you're
microbes,
actually getting little shit particles in your nose.
Little shit molecules. Back me up. Somebody please back me up. I know that to be true. I know it's got to be true. When you smell delicious pasta sauce being cooked by some fucking shelf-assed old Italian woman, possibly with grooves and hooves. Rest in peace, absolutely. I mean, you'll be remembered forever by the Ziploc bag of hair that Frank has kept of yours.
it's behind me.
Some of those sauce or gravy molecules are in your nose when you're smelling it. So it's, think about it. If it's in your nose, it's got to be settling elsewhere. Anyway, enough of this goddamn bullshit, Frank. Enough of it. I just want to quickly say ICU2.com. Please go to ICU2. ICU2.com. Video conferencing in a modern age of conferencing. Not necessarily with video involved. You want more interaction? You want to see people and be face-to-face with them from wherever you are? From wherever? Whatever? Whichever place? From any place where you can get the internet, well, ICU2 is your answer. Please go to ICU2.com. And you know what? You're going to be rolling with the fucking goddamn pioneers of video conferencing. ICU2, come on. This weekend, Frank, I went shopping with Amanda and her parents. Not like, not box stores or anything like that. None of those things. Went to little shops. You know, what do you think of when I say little shops? What do you think of?
You know, a little quaint little boutique type of things.
Like an old middle-aged woman.
Yeah, like a consignment type of place.
Yeah, like some kind of like a really narrow thing, maybe.
Absolutely.
It was an apartment.
Like a row house.
Yeah, exactly. Just exactly what we were looking at, what we were going through, and the type of place that has nothing I'm interested in. I've never been in a little shop that had anything I was interested in. Even if I should. Even if it's a candy place of fucking... I don't like it because people start piling in and it gets a little too fucking close for me. People, because people don't go in there with purpose. That's not the nature of the little shop. That's the box store. That's the Best Buy. Home Depot. You know what you're going for. You go there, you get it. Whereas it should be, you know, the place is so small, you should only be going there if you know what you need. Because you don't want to spend time there. It's inverse. The big stores is what you use that for. But the small shops, people want to fucking browse. They want to just stand there. They want to have chit-chat with the fucking sow behind the counter. They want to get samples. They want to do this. They want to talk about that. And you know what? I had a moment where I had to leave. I've never felt claustrophobic. And all of a sudden, we were in this candy shop, and it was like 5 feet, it seemed, from the wall to the counter, and about 10 feet of open space in the entire place, like 5 by 10. And there were 12 people in there. And I started feeling like everything was closing in, and I had to fucking leave. So
really?
I
you've never mentioned claustrophobia since I've known you.
I've never felt it until this time. And I go for the door, and someone, and I see that someone's approaching the door to enter. And I'm thinking, well, whatever, dude, have fun. I'm getting out. So I pull the door open, or I go to pull the door open. The guy pulls it towards him and holds it for me, which I say, thank you. And what he decides to do is he decides to turn, to basically merge his entrance with my exit.
Son of a bitch.
He holds it open, and as I'm leaving, he decides to fucking rub by me. Fucking chest to chest.
Bastard.
As he has to get in, and I have to get the fuck out. Just, if you're gonna hold a door... The people that get out of the place have fucking preference. That is the rule. You're not allowed in until the people that want to get out do so. Goes with trains, that goes with fucking anything. And as I got out, Frank, I noticed that this place, like a mom and pop type candy store, they must have had one of their kids outside with... just taking pictures with other children. The kid was wearing a bear costume, and it was a fucking it was already an uncomfortable day, and I was wearing my fucking shorts. Uncomfortable. I'm in shorts and flip flops, and this guy's wearing a fucking 3-inch thick burlap fucking bear costume, and it's a shitty one. It's not good quality, and like the screens where the eyes are, you can see right through. Like, I can look at it, and I actually can make out the facial features of the person, and I see.
Give that guy a little wink, saying, "I know there's somebody behind. I know you're a real person."
I looked plain in the eyes. I could look right through the bear's eyes and see the person, and it was like a teenage guy, maybe like a freshman or a sophomore in high school, and sweat streaming down his face. I could make out that much detail. That's how shitty the fucking costume was. And I asked him, I go, well, let me ask you, it's really, really fucking hot in that costume, isn't it? He nodded and then proceeded to do his fucking slave labor of waving to children.
You see, what he did, that was sort of what happened between you two, was sort of like you went behind the curtain a little bit.
A little bit.
Because he's to most people, you know, to him, what he was just like a bear character is what it was, like a Bernstein bear.
It's just a teddy bear type character,
okay.
And he was wearing a sign that said "Free Bear Hugs."
Oh boy!
So here's a sweating teenager encouraging hugs, wearing a fucking sign that says "Free Bear Hugs," and I gotta tell you, anybody that came up to him was happy to receive a hug. Parents,
did you hug him?
No, I did not fucking hug him. Parents were elated to push their children towards this bear because he was a bear and he had a sign that said bear hugs, and they took pictures and they were really happy about this. They wouldn't have hugged a sweaty teenager, but because he's covered in something that looks like a bear, they're just fucking so overjoyed to push their kindergartner into the genitals of a fucking stuffed animal. And they take a picture of him, and that's going to be in somebody's fucking That's going to be in somebody's photo album. That's going to be in a collection of memories that they're going to keep. This fucking teenager and the kids and family members in front of him. Did you ever take pictures of your kids with one of those people in costume?
No, but I actually was one of those people in costume.
When
I was at the ShopRite, the Experience in Oakshire Road in Edison, I played an Easter Bunny.
Where was that? What ShopRite was that?
Oakshire Road Experience, the Experience.
ShopRite, the Experience, the Experience.
The Experience. On Oakshire Road in Edison, the Experience.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a ShopRite thing. I think it's a Pathmark. But anyway, I played an Easter Bunny, and I also played Uncle Sam 1 year, too.
Now, Uncle Sam has no mask.
Right.
So you had to put a beard on and a hat.
I refuse to wear the beard. I just wore the hat.
Hey, you gotta pick your battles. No beard for me. Were kids taking pictures with you?
They would stick their fingers in the nose of the Easter Bunny, and that would really aggravate me.
Yeah, because their little chubby fingers are going into your nostrils right by inches from your face. Just fucking disgusting. And you know, you hear the stories about Disney that they cycle in and out the people that play the characters. They don't do that at a mom and pop chocolate store. This is the parents' business isn't doing so well. There's gonna be a craft fair or something, and they need to rope in customers. So this is the type of thing that kid was told he's doing at 8 a.m. He probably had plans. He was gonna probably just sit in his fucking underwear and eat cereal and play Xbox all day. But no, now he's in a goddamn bear costume, getting hugged by strangers and their children, and being immortalized in the family albums of strangers. I think that of all the costume characters that kids enjoy being around, what percentage do you think have legal troubles? Like a lot of, I'd imagine not a lot of places screen them.
Mostly they're already employees of the store, aren't they? I mean, they're not going to hire except.
What about like a birthday party? Or like I need an Elmo. So right. You say, well, we got an Elmo, and here comes a guy that has fucking sleeve tats where the flames are also vaginas. And now he's wearing an Elmo costume, so it's okay for your kid to be on his lap. And it's the best birthday ever, and it's amazing, and he'll never forget it. And then he'll see the pictures, and then he'll remember that. But they'll never truly know that they had their little childlike ass just resting on the crotch of a fucking criminal. Whatever. So you were one of those criminals.
I was not a criminal. I was a Easter Bunny and Uncle Sam. In 1987, I was Uncle Sam. It was the year that Billy Joel, We Start the Fire, came out. I remember that.
It was also probably the very same day that Dave Rigetti threw a no-hitter. Thank you very much. July 4th, 1987. Thank you. I hope a Yankee fan out there knows this, that I know this stuff.
I thought you were a Mets fan.
I am. Doesn't mean I limit my knowledge, Frank. I'm not going to limit myself.
All right.
Well, I guess we should wrap it up. Well,
yeah, just the cap on the bottle.
Well, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed McGrath. Was it
1983? Oh! Ass!
Was it
you blew it!
It was July 4th, though.
That you blew the whole year, though.
Who gives a shit?
That's the important thing.
Nobody gives a shit about Dave Rigetti anymore. How about that? Huh. Guy throws a no-hitter, nobody gives a fuck about him. So eat shit, fuck you, Dave Rigetti, fuck the Yankees, and fuck you, Ed McGrath, and fuck everybody else, except those of you who are subscribed. In which case, Ed McGrath, if you're subscribed, you are unfucked. Please, everybody, go to DJNewStyleShow.com, download everything we've ever done, subscribe to the podcast. We really appreciate that. We love seeing people interact with the show. Download the show. We love your feedback. And we can get some of that on Facebook.com/TheDJNewStyleShow. Go there, click like, and leave a comment. It's something to read while I'm avoiding getting my New Balances wet by coworker piss. Thank you very much. If you're listening live, I'll probably fuck around on Chat Roulette for a little bit. And if not, thank you for downloading this show. Frank, is there anything you want to say?
Ah, look at the cute little bastard.